driver's seat.
Stevie Johnson's going to fight him all the way up to the line. Who'll get there first? Kelly, I reckon. No, Johnson got it.
This is going to be Molly Taylor winning the first ever Extreme E X Prix. She crosses the line. She has done a fabulous job, and no wonder she is smiling.
The driver's seat.
It's McLaren and Ricciardo that win the Italian Grand Prix. Start the celebrations for McLaren.
The driver's seat with Matt McKeldin and Stephen Johnson for Kubota. For over 40 years, we've been making tomorrow matter, shaping and building Australia together.
Excellent job.
And welcome to the driver's seat. We do it thanks to Kubota. Together we are shaping and building Australia. I'm going to put a slight peek behind the curtain here.
I'm glad you're going to throw him under the bus here.
Because first off, we've got Aaron Noonan, the V8 sleuth, as our feature interview. Thanks to Ryko Filters. Ask your mechanic for Ryko Filters, the professional's choice. But when I've got him queued up on hold, ready to go, and I go, as our intro is playing, I hear Matthew McKeldin go and say, Steve, and I ask, where's Steve? And the answer is, he's in the kitchen. Oh. It doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence. But
and I'm not sure that we're on air, so I don't want to scream out at the top of my lungs, oi, get in here, Steve, the show's starting. So I'm, if you could see on camera, folks, I'm here windmilling my arms to try and get Steve's attention to run on in here. Anyway,
I was only bringing you in the Bundy ginger beer.
You did. Bundaberg fantastic ginger sponsors beer. Of SEN Bundaberg ginger beer.
Well done.
Thank you. And he was bringing me in a freshly chilled bottle of Bundaberg for our show.
Well, it is great to see a quick peek behind the curtain before we get to our feature interview. You know him as the doyen of all things V8 supercars in Australian touring cars history. He's got one of the most extensive back catalogues of this great sport and has done every Holden Racing Team fan a favour that might have missed out on an initial run of a stellar book that was put out in 2017. But please welcome back to the driver's seat, the one and only V8 sleuth himself, Aaron Noonan.
Oh, gentlemen, what have you done to this show since I was last on? I remember when this was a serious motorsport, insightful analysis program. Now it's Stevie's hanging out in the kitchen, Matt's waving like a crazy man, and Nims is trying to control both of you guys. So what is going on?
We've turned it more towards our real passion. That's food.
Food.
MK Matt and Steve, not MKR. My kitchen Matt and Steve here live on air.
We did used to be a very serious show, mate, and then we saw what our ratings were and we went, stuff this, we better get a little bit more entertaining and colourful rather than just talk about motorsport. However, having said that, we are both still cardigans when it comes to this sort of stuff, and your stock of books and information and photos and videos, mate, we absolutely love it. And you've as Nimsy said, you've done something with the HRT, the Holden Racing Team.
Yeah, I think it's a case of old school's cool is kind of the line of late. But and thanks for having me on, guys. It's been a little while since we've done this, so good to catch up and have a chat. But we've been publishing books for the last couple of years, and about 5 years ago we did a book documenting all the Holden Racing Team cars. But you know what? Stuff keeps happening with them. People sell them, they restore them, they bring them back to how they raced back with Craig Lowndes or Peter Brock or Mark Scaife or Garth Tander or any of the stars from over the years. So it never
Steve
sits
Johnson.
Still. So we've put together Johnson gets a run in this one somehow. I think it's the wrong colour and the wrong badge. But did get a run in our Perkins book from his little interlude with a privateer Commodore some years ago.
Exactly, I did. And that was a Perkins book car, wasn't it?
It was. It was the Elk air conditioning privateer Commodore. So we've just released a second edition of this book, which is, an updated version, lots of updated text with where these cars are now, and some of the private collectors have purchased some of these cars. They're going for big biscuits, huge dollars. Mm. I think there's a few people who've decided to put their superannuation funds into race cars rather than cash. So there's plenty of that stuff going on. There's plenty of new photos. It's a cool thing, and it's out now. It's a limited number. It's only 3,000 copies, so I'm sure they're the perfect Father's Day or Christmas idea to snap up, or just treat yourself anyway. Why not?
Well, and you're right. It does focus on that old or the we call the golden era, don't we, Matthew?
We do. When men were men and race cars were actually racing, and race drivers could say what they wanted without fear of being find.
Yes, exactly. But, mate, obviously, being a Holden book and obviously a HRT book, you've focused it. And when it's gone from backing from Clayton down there to, and it moved to Triple Eight, I think it was back in 2017, wasn't it? It did have the HRT name that sort of came with it, but it didn't really have that heart and soul, is it? Yeah, it was just, I don't know, with the Brock and the Scaife, Lounsey, Murph and the GT era. So this book really focuses on that in the lead up through to the end of 2016.
That's right, Stevie, it does. And a lot of people have asked, why haven't we included the Red Bull Holden Racing team cars that followed on? Well, I mean, quite frankly, I mean, as you guys will know, and a lot of your listeners, and a lot of your listeners will be hardcore, long-term HRT/Walkinshaw fans. So to them, when that banner was moved, it kind of was the banner and the team were the same thing. And when you took away the banner, the team was still the same, although it had to be rebranded. So a lot of those people spent all their time barracking for their team against Triple A. So it'd be like saying, oh, well, the sponsor from Geelong's going to Collingwood, I'm going to go and support Collingwood. Well, hell no. No way. I'm not supporting Collingwood. It's that kind of scenario. So there's very much... and now this is the interesting part with Walkinshaw and Dreddy United breaking that GM tie, finishing up the end of the year and off to join the Blue Oval next year. So I reckon their supporters stuck fat with their team, even though the banner changed at the end of 16 and it went to Triple Eight. The Walkinshaw fans that were HRT fans stuck with them. Now the question is, do they stick with them into the new era, or is the fact that there's no Lion to support anymore enough to make people decide, you know what, I'm a Walkinshaw fan, I'm going to go with them, I'm going to go with Chas Mostert, and I'm supporting the team, and they just so happen to race a Mustang. A bit like people supported Peter Brock back in the day, and they kind of overlooked and went, oh, all right, he's driving a Sierra, but you know what, everybody else is, so...
Or
love
BMW
Brocky,
or whatever else, you know. Yeah,
BMW,
follow him, didn't
exactly
they?
Right. Exactly right.
So yeah, with totally. This book...
And Triple Eight's got its own audience too, so that's the scenario. And we're going to do a book on them next year, 20th anniversary for that team.
And that kind of leads me into this. I mean, with this sort of focusing up to 2016, is there likely, as you go past that, as we now come into 2022 and into 23 with New Gen, is there likely just to be a... I don't know, what do you call it in literary terms? Do you call it a new book? Do you call it a third or fourth, you know, a sequel? Are you going to cover those cars?
An epilogue.
Matt, that's the word I'm looking for. It took three goes to say, I thought literary was mentioned three times there, but I was slightly concerned that that's where we were going.
It's the Bundaberg ginger beer, mate.
Is this alcoholic ginger beer?
too much time in the kitchen, Yeah, I think the great thing is actually some of these Holden Racing team cars from when that team finished with Walkinshaws at 16, they carried on. They raced with the Walkinshaw team in the following years. And so they're covered in the book with their full histories through. So we've sort of got this gap where we've got the Walkinshaw cars of the Commodores that weren't HRT, but they're sort of floating. So somewhere, somehow, I'm sure we'll cast the net across those and put them in a combination book somewhere down the line so as they're not forgotten about. But they're part of the team's history over the journey too. And that's what we're really big on with what we've been doing for the best part of, you know, 10-odd years with V8 Sleuth. We're all about the history of the sport and connecting it to the contemporary. So it's great to talk about the good old days and how great it was back in the day. But it's also about celebrating the now, because we don't just live in the past and sit there watching old races every night. We're connected to the sport as it is currently. It's very different to how it was 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. So it's putting that bridge between the two things that what we're focused to do with, you know, the books and the website and the podcast and all the stuff that we've done, which we've had, I've got to say, amazing support from fans over the years on what we do, how we do it. And we sort of like to do things that are a bit different to what everybody else is doing, with a little sleuth slant on them as well. So it's great that, you know, a lot of your listeners will have followed us over the years of what we've been up to. And don't worry, there's plenty more stuff to come, because stuff's getting older all the time. So there's always going to be something for us to do.
And we all know that the sleuth Aaron Noonan has got the biggest vault in the country. He's got the biggest vault of motorsport.
Well, he does.
Everything.
And I reckon
in the country.
There's a few things that Aaron Noonan knows around me and may have even witnessed over the years at after parties that just better stay in that vault, let me tell you.
Got a very big lock on it, Matthew. Don't you worry.
Thank you. Thank you, Noons.
Hey, Noons, last year we spoke to Cedo, Glenn Seaton, and you teamed up with him to release his, obviously, racing history book, his official racing history book. You know, one more thing that you guys are doing, Will Dale. Well, like, will Will Dale be working on this book with Jim Richards? You know, because obviously that's coming out towards the end of the year. And how's it been going with Jim?
I've got to tell you, Stevie, it's a really interesting one that you ask. So, as you said, you know, your old teammate, you'd spent a year driving with Glenn a couple of years back. I twisted his arm a few years ago and said, mate, you've got to do a book. People love, you know, your story of where you've been and what you've done. And it took a while to convince him to do it. And we got it done a couple of years ago. And he actually said at the end of it that he really enjoyed the process. He really enjoyed sitting back and stopping and taking stock of what he's achieved. You know, two Australian touring car championships and a bunch of Bathurst podiums and poles and touring car championship race wins and Sandown 500s and, you know, all this stuff, running his own race team. And I think for me as a publisher and as a media guy, it's great that we can do these projects with guys who I grew up watching on TV, and I've, you know, been so fortunate enough to work with in a bunch of different media roles. And but the thing that I got the most out of it, and the same's happening with Jim, the book that we're working on with Jim Richards this year, Glenn came to us at the end of it and said, I really enjoyed doing this. It meant a lot to me because, you know, for something that it took us a while to get him to convince him to do, there's some people who are, you know, he's not a blow his own trumpet kind of guy, nor is Jim Richards. They're very similar in that regard. So when we're doing a book, which is very much blowing your trumpet in a way, Glenn just got so much out of it. He really enjoyed the process and really grew to love the project. And that's what's going on with Jim at the moment as we're putting that book together, because it took a fair bit of arm twisting, and his family, his daughter, his grandkids, Steve, his son, Faye, his wife's involved. It's been a big process. But now that it's rolling, and of course, Jim Richards, there's, you know, seriously about 100 years of motor racing history to try to wrap into 400 pages. He's really enjoying the process and really getting a lot out of it. And for me, I think that's the coolest thing. Like, it's great that we're putting these pieces of history together for fans to enjoy. But probably the biggest kick that sort of gets me really excited about it is the impact it's having on these guys who are legends of our sport, who've got something that then puts in one spot. Here's your body of work. And they're really proud of it and really thrilled to. It's kind of that old, the journey is the reward. There's the end thing. There's the book. There it is. There's all the pictures. There's the words. That's great. But it's the journey of putting it together and thinking of all the memories and some of the stuff that they've not thought about for a very long time. That's the thing that I really get the biggest kick out of. It's very cool.
Noons, the thing that when you mentioned how, you know, you had to kind of like, how Cedo was a bit like, oh, I don't know if I should do a book. I love how you, when we spoke to you last before Neil Crompton's book, Best Seat in the House, and you can get that at the V8 Sleuth Superstore as we speak. But I love how Crompo, of all people, like, oh, I don't know if people want to hear my story. It's like, Neil, are you serious? Of course we want to hear your story.
I have done more arm twisting in the last 10 years on books with some of these guys. I've twisted their arms around and around, and he was one of them too. Took me 10 years, and we finally got there last year, and they did a reprint on it. He keeps saying, oh, yeah, it'll be selling by the kilo before you know it. But, you know, we did a great night up at the Bathurst Museum this year at the 12-hour, and there were plenty of fans who could quote the book back to me. They've read it 10 times over, which was really great. And he got a lot out of it. And it came at a really difficult time. Obviously, he had his cancer diagnosis right in the middle of doing this book. So when you're sitting there probing your life of your motorsport life and your broader life, and then your life, you know, the big question of life comes into play when you find out that you're crook. It's a lot to take in. It's a lot to process. And it was at a very difficult time that we were working on that book. So I know he's really proud of it. And again, that he's glad that we twisted his arm to do it. Yeah. He's talking about, when are we doing the next one? So, you know, it's a bit of a dangerous thing when you start these blokes, because you can never stop them and shut them down now. We've got them up and rolling. It's going to be hard to slow them down.
I know. And like, that was good that you said that, because something that I did want to ask you is, you know, you get the guys like you've done one with my old man, and you're doing one with JR now, and Cedo, Crompton, a lot of the guys that were, that I idolized as a kid, And they're all, you know, Larry, they're all very standoffish. No, no one will want to hear that. You know, my dad's still the same now. He still doesn't believe and understand why people still want his autograph, you know. So when you go from that era to this era now, do you find that this era is a bit different in the way that, yeah, let's talk about me and we'll do 400 pages on me and trying to invite it in rather than, you know, the old school way, whereas it's, you know, I'm not really involved in promoting myself. I just... why would anyone want to hear my story sort of thing?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a... those guys are a product of their era, Stevie. And you and I are similar vintage. You are slightly older than me, but not very much. But we're in the same line of our era. So
we're a hybrid era because we're halfway in between.
Yeah, we are. We're in the middle.
That,
yeah, we are.
And social media. And I think that's probably got a big impact on what I'm talking about.
Oh, mate, I spend VHS, DVD and streaming, so I know exactly what you're all about there. I know exactly what you mean.
Betamax.
Oh, well, I'm not quite that old. Steady on. Past the beta. I haven't got one of those. Jeepers. That's definitely a little bit before my time. But, yeah, you're right. And that's the product of the era of those guys. And, you know, there wasn't the level of exposure that there is now. You know, I remember as a kid you had to sit up. Well, my dad wouldn't let me sit up. He's probably listening to this right now on the SEN app, by the way. So he's in Ballarat. He would never let me sit up Sunday night to watch the touring cars at 10:30 on Channel 7. He had to tape it, and I had to watch it after school the next day. So we've come a long way, haven't we? Where, you know, this weekend, Townsville, we're going to have live coverage on Fox and KO and 7 and X amount of hours and all the racing and all the practice and all the qualifying. I mean, we've got so much of it now compared to back then. So it's clearly, you know, everyone's a different product of their era, and the drivers and the topics of today, they'll get old one day and we'll write about them. But now there's not much that's not left seen or known because there's so much coverage and socials. You can follow your favourite driver or team or whatever sponsor, whatever it might be. So it's pretty hard to miss a trick at the moment with the way of the world compared to, say, you know, the 80s and 90s when I was growing up.
Mate, very quickly, you've been on with us for a little while. Just before we let you go, for those of us who still require big letters and big words and big pictures in our books.
On your phone screen.
Or on my phone screen, yes, thank you. I am the oldest of the four people talking here, by the way. You do a podcast, the V8 Sleuth podcast, which for mine is just one of the top sport podcasts, not just motorsport, but sport podcasts. You recently did one with Nathan Preddy. What a legend of a bloke. If you're listening and you haven't had a listen to the V8 podcast, jump onto Nathan Preddy. Understated guy, but in amongst us that are around the pits, literally one of the funniest blokes you'll ever meet and one of the greatest guys. I wasn't surprised to hear some of his stories. I also wasn't surprised to hear why he never probably went full-time. Because he said in the podcast, and you really must go and have a listen, he always held back at just a few tenths to make sure that he brought the car home in one piece. So, mate, congratulations on that interview, because it's really easy interviewing the big people because there's so much. But when you get to someone like Nathan Preddy, who hasn't necessarily been in the spotlight for too long, it can't be as easy. But it was a great chat.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I love talking to the people who I've got to know in motorsport over the years, and you're right, they're not the big names, you know, and you know, it's great to chat to the Dick Johnsons and the Larry Perkinses and the Mark Scaifes and those guys that the broader public will know. But then Nathan Preddy, I mean, it's a great story, and yeah, appreciate if anyone goes and has a listen. The V8 Sleuth podcast is available on all good podcasting networks, of course, like all the SEN podcasts as well, including Absolutely. The driver's seat. There you go, joint plug.
Indeed. Thank you.
But the great thing with Nate is that he's been there and done so many things over the journey, but he was driving cabs in Wodonga, a Ford, by the way, at the same time that he got this call up to join the Holden Racing team as an endurance driver, which was just, you know, and then everything that goes from there. He wins the Bathurst 24-hour race for Holden. He's driving for them in the endurance races at Bathurst every year. As you said before, he never went full-time in V8 supercars. He prepped his own cars. He raced on the Thunderdome at Calder. And he's just a great, fun bloke who's achieved a lot over racing, but doesn't have that big name. So it's telling those stories and getting the inside download with some of those guys who, you know, you probably don't hear in other places or see much of, who've drifted off away from the sport a little bit, because there's always a good story or three to be had, and he's definitely one of those great characters of Aussie motorsport for sure.
I think Matt McKeldin could have taken a bit of advice from Nathan Priddy and just backed off a couple of tents and brought the car home.
You are serious.
Stop it.
That is what is a drive-by.
Is this a weekly gag you guys do? Is this weekly?
Well, at the moment, how's the rebuild of the car going, Matty?
How's the rebuild?
Well, mate, I'm going to hand it over to Steve Johnson on that answer, because he and Jet and Ben Leeds are actually doing all the hard work. So, Steve Johnson, how's my rebuild coming along?
It's going very well. It is at the moment. It won't be too far before it's on track. So it's coming along nicely, and you may see that little. Well, it's not so little. That number. Well, I can't even say what number it's going to be. It's going to be different.
Not yet. Yeah.
Kubota car on the track before the end of the year with one M. McKeldin behind the wheel.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see what we're going to do. We're currently talking to upper senior management in the McKeldin household about whether I'm allowed to go racing again next year, Noons, but we'll see how we go. But it won't be in Trans Am.
How those contract negotiations developing?
Look, they're going pretty good. Yeah. No.
That's a team principle you don't want to annoy there, Matthew.
No, goodness, no. No. Like, you think Gary Jacobson got the Tijuana brass pretty hard from Premier. You should see what will happen if I mess up in this one, mate. Yeah, I don't know. Look, we haven't made a decision on what we're going to do for next year, but we're still working through things. I'd like to be back on next year, probably in TA2, but we'll see how we go.
We're keeping our fingers crossed on that one. Noons, look, we've taken up far too much of your time, but make sure you do jump on board the V8 Sleuth website. There's a ton of good stuff. Also, should take a quick mention to mention the fine work that Andrew Van Leeuwen and Stefan Bartolomeus do every single week on the Castrol Motorsport podcast, because it must be very, and we know this for a fact too, doing the driver's seat, that when there's breaking news that happens and you just, you know, we do our show on a Wednesday and then all of a sudden big stories happen on a Thursday. It's not convenient. So with the whole super licensed driver last night, I could just imagine you boys hitting record, stop, done, and go, oh no.
Yeah,
there was a bit of that going on. There was a bit of let's just stop, let's make some calls and then pick it up again and get it out there a little bit later in the piece. But yeah, it's the nature of breaking news, isn't it? Whenever you set a plan to record something happens right before or right after you're going to do it. It's the nature of the beast, isn't it? So
yeah,
that's life, isn't it? But hey, looking forward to Townsville this weekend too. So looking forward to seeing what unfolds with the supercars up there as well. So yeah, there's always a bit of news cooking behind the scenes as well. And we're going to get some cars on a racetrack this weekend. And, let's see if anybody can give Mr. Van Gisbergen a run for their money. I can't see anyone outside Triple Eight Tickford or DJR winning. Because here's a little tidbit for you before I go. The last 24 races in a row in Townsville since 2014 have been won by those three teams. No one else has won up there. So let's see if someone can break their stranglehold this weekend.
Well, I don't mean to be mean or rude, but if Tickford could...
But you will be.
I will be, because I don't really care. But if Tickford could find some consistency, that'd be fantastic, because consistency has left the building when it comes to that squad. And if they're going to win something this weekend, it would be nice to see them have a... They had a good round, I think, up in Darwin. Did they have a good round in Darwin? Yeah, they did.
Cam won a race.
It'd be nice to see if they can back that up in Townsville, because... I hear what you're saying about Triple Eight, Tickford, and DJR, but Tickford is not one of the teams that I would have put in there about giving Van Gisbergen a consistent run.
No, but they did win in Townsville last year with Cam Waters. But then again, Triple Eight has won a bazillion races there with Wincup and Van Gisbergen over the journey too. So it's very much a Triple Eight track. And DJR hasn't won there as DJR. They were DJR Team Penske, remember that. Scotty McLaughlin era. So the cars look the same, but it's a little bit of a different setup now. But that's the beauty of all this stuff, guys. We just don't know what we're going to get. We know James Golding's coming back, which is great, the Subway car. And I picked up a little skerrick tonight that Lee Holdsworth, who I'm pretty sure you had on your show last week, he's got an engineering change this weekend because his regular engineer's got COVID just before the trip to Townsville. So David Couchy, the team principal, is going to take back the whole race engineer headset thing that he used to do at Triple Eight. And he's going to be on the headset for Lee this weekend. So that's a bit of a shuffle. And there's been a big issue today, I think. It's a good sub to be able to pull it out. But I think there was an issue with flights out at Melbourne Airport today for a bunch of teams and drivers and Super 2 competitors who were bounced to a flight tomorrow morning that was initially going to be with two stopovers getting people into Townsville at the end of tomorrow night or even on Friday, which would have been a disaster. So it's my understanding that there's actually been a, because there's been so many dramas with flights and airlines and cancellations and delays, that they've put on a direct flight in the morning to get those people up there from here in Melbourne, in my part of the world. So, yeah, always a little bit of a drama here, there and everywhere, but that's just a little bit of an added bonus for teams with their logistics planning to try to make sure that they get to North Queensland for the weekend.
Oh, geez. We just need a little bit more spice to add to an already interesting season. But, Noons, you've been incredibly generous with your time, mate, especially on an evening like tonight, which is very, very cold. So we thank you for sitting by the phone and have a yarn with us. Remember, you can get the Holden Racing Team, the cars, the complete history from 1989 to 2016. The second edition is available now from the V8 Sleuth Superstore. Plus, you can even pre-order Gentleman Jim, the official racing history of Jim Richards as well at the V8 Sleuth website. And make sure you take advantage of all the great offers that are on there. I know I am. I can tell you right now, Noons, that cart is very, very busy. that you're going to need a pretty heavy Australia Post mailbag to send it through to my joint. I can tell you that.
Just go and rattle that lock once again, if you wouldn't mind, Noonsy, on that vault just before you go. That'd be great. Just make sure.
Yes. It's,
thank you.
I'll pop another padlock on there, fine, sir.
Yeah,
all good.
Keep that nice and shut there.
But thanks a lot, Noons. We appreciate your time, mate.
My pleasure. Good stuff, boys.
Aaron Noonan, the V8 Sleuth, our feature interview. Thanks to Ryko Filters. Ask your mechanic for Ryko Filters, the professional's choice.